Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. We've been, since we finished up the book of Hebrews, we jumped in and we've been looking at just little spots of end time events that's going to take place. We've talked about different things, the catching away of the saints. We talked about what we as a church will be doing in heaven. We'll be going through the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb. We've looked at Israel, what they'll be doing upon the earth. We've looked at players that will be during the tribulation time and events that will be taking place. And I'm sure all this will, if we could just really put it up on the screen and see it as it is, it would probably blow our minds to see what all takes place during the tribulation period. It would be beyond our understanding and way of seeing. And we looked at several things during that time. Then we looked at the coming back of the Lord, when he would come back to the earth. Now when he comes back, Matthew chapter 25, we mentioned in passing last week, and we'll cover it a little bit more intense maybe next week. But there'll be a judgment of the nations that Christ will do. There will be some that will go into this reign of Christ, and some that will be departed and be cast into hell. Chapter 19 of Revelation tells us that the beast, the Antichrist himself, the false prophet that aligns with him and helps him, will both be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible also tells us those that had taken the mark of the beast and those that had gathered. Now Jesus, when he talks about the judgment of the nations in chapter 25, the sheep and goats, it will be in reference to what they have done to the brethren. Israel will be a persecuted group during that time. Israel will be one that will be hunted. They will be, those who are saved during the tribulation time will be perish as well. They'll be crucified and persecuted to the point of death. And we looked at several of those. Now we talked about in Revelation chapter 20, if you want to begin reading with me in chapter 20 of Revelation, we'll look at some things. And we'll get through what we can today, and then we'll pick up the rest as we go through this study. Revelation chapter 20. Now remember, going back, verses 20 and 21 of chapter 19 tells us those that will be cast into the lake of fire coming out of the tribulation period of time. And the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 20, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having a key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand." Revelation 20, verse 2. "And he laid hold on the dragon," that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, "and bound him," what? Now remember, we went through this last time. For what period of time? 1,000 years. Somebody said, "Do you really think it's going to be 1,000 years? Yes. Why would it not? Why would it say 1,000 years if it was going to be 100 years? 1,000 years. Look on, if you would, in verse 3. "And cast him to the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the what? 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season." Verse number 4. "And I saw thrones and they that sat upon him, and judgment was given to them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ," what? 1,000 years. Now notice here, it's specific on who this group is that's going to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years, that he's talking about, that had given their life, that had been martyrs during that time. It was those that had refused the mark of the beast during the tribulation time. Well, people said, "Well, how about us?" Well, remember, we've been up in heaven with Jesus. We were called away before this tribulation time happened. We were up there. We've been judged. We've been married to the Lamb when he came back. And when he's fixing to come back and reign, we're going to reign with him. And the Bible says that they that suffer with him shall reign with him. And the Bible tells us that it'll be according to how faithful we've been to the responsibilities we'll have when he sets his kingdom upon the earth. Somebody said, why is he going to set a kingdom? Well, we'll get on that in just a moment. But let's look on, if you would, again, in verse number 5. It says, but the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the what? First resurrection. Now, remember, we went over last week and we studied the first resurrection. And you'll never understand the first resurrection unless you understand the Feast of First Fruits, and you understand several things according to the Old Testament that it points to this. And we know, because if you go to Matthew chapter 27, as a matter of fact, keep your finger there a moment. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And again, we covered this a little bit, but I want to cover it for those who may not have been here, just so that I don't lose you today. In verse number 50, the Bible says, Jesus hanging upon the cross of Calvary, said, Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent. And the graves were what? Huh. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Then the Bible says the graves were open. Look on what it says. It says in verse 52, and many bodies of the saints which slept did what? Arose. Now you got to remember, this was Jesus when he was on the cross of Calvary. But notice what it says in verse 53. And came out of the graves after what? His resurrection. Okay? And went into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, you'll never understand this unless the first resurrection, unless you understand this part of it. The first resurrection comes in three stages. Already one stage has been fulfilled. When Jesus died, we know that when he was hanging upon the cross of Calvary, there, when he was hanging there was a thief on both sides. One thief was saved during that time he was hanging there. And he said, Lord, he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, what? Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Well, paradise, we know at that point in time when Jesus was upon the cross of Calvary, paradise was down in the heart of the earth. In Luke chapter 16, when the rich man and Lazarus both died, they both went to the heart of the earth. There was a great gulf that divided the two, and it was called Abraham's bosom. It was also called paradise. The Old Testament saints all went there. They were on one side. Lost people was on the other side. There was a great gulf, and Jesus described that and said no one could cross over. Now, when you look at Ephesians chapter 4, if you'll turn there real quickly in Ephesians chapter 4, and notice what Paul said about Jesus when he was going to resurrect. And I know I'm covering some stuff that I covered the other day, but I'll cover some more in just a moment. Notice, if you would, in verse number 8. It says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led what? Captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, that went up, what is it first that he also descended first? Where? In the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. So the Bible tells us before Jesus went up, he went down. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 38 through 40, when the Pharisees said, give us a sign, he said, the only sign this evil generation have will have the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Now, why did he go down there? Well, we know that the Bible says in Peter, 1 Peter 3, verse 18, he went down there and he preached to some spirits. Now, I don't want to get off that on that, because those spirits was once disobedient during the days of Noah. But he also went down there to lead captivity captive. Who was being held captive? The Old Testament saints. Why were they being held captive until his resurrection? Because he was the first fruits. And he had to resurrect first. And when he resurrected, he led some people out of the grave with him. And the Bible said many of the graves burst open during that time in Matthew 27 after his resurrection. And the Bible tells us that he was the first fruits. Now, why is that important? The Old Testament saints, they were resurrected with Jesus. And when you go back to the Feast of the First Fruits, what they would do is, when they would have a harvest, they would take the first fruits that would come, they would present them to God. And when they would present them to God, and they would take sheaves and wave it before God and do different things. But it was to testify that this that was fixing to come into a great harvest was all because of God. And they recognized that God was responsible for it all. And so they gave him the first fruits, honoring him as God, as the author of life, as the giver of gifts unto men. And so they would do that. So what Jesus did was, he did the same thing, and they would take the first fruits and they would offer it before God and give it to the priest, and they would use it for God's work. And so Jesus took the Old Testament saints up. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, when Paul's writing, he talks about one time when I think it was he himself, was probably stoned at Lystra, was taken up into the third heaven. And the Bible says there, now this is after the resurrection Jesus, he says now he was taken up to the third heaven, which is paradise. Now to be absent from the body when we die saved, we don't go down to Abraham's bosom. As a matter of fact, when you read in Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 11, the Bible says hell shall enlarge herself. And so therefore, Abraham's bosom is no longer down in there. But Jesus brought them out. Hell's enlarged herself down there. And now the Old Testament saints, as the first fruits, was taken and presented before God. So they would take the first fruits of the coming harvest and present them to God. Then they would wait for the harvest to come. And they would go out and they would reap the harvest. And it would come in, and it would be a great benefit to all people. And then after the harvest was, we talked about this a little bit last week, there would be a gleaning process. Now, if you've ever harvested anything, and we used to do, I used to help a guy over in Jackson County harvest his corn, and he would take a shed or a sled pulled by mule, and we would go through the corn patch, and we would harvest the corn. But the only problem was, after we got through with all the harvest, his dad would say, now you go in there and glean the field. And what we would do is we would go in, and it was amazing how many ears of corn we would find that was trodden down, pushed down, and rolled over during the harvest. And so here there was three phases to this Feast of First Fruits. There was the first fruits, there was a harvest, the great harvest that would come, then there would be a gleaning process. Now, when you read the book of Ruth, she was involved in gleaning the fields. That's what she was doing. Now, when you understand that, you can understand the first resurrection. The first part of the resurrection has done taken place. The Old Testament saints came out that was being held captive down in Abraham's bosom. They came out with Jesus. Now they're up in heaven. Now, the second group is waiting. The second part of the first resurrection is a catching away of the saints. It's what we refer to as a rapture. The Bible says that Jesus is going to come back in the air, not on the earth, in the air. And when he comes back in the air, there's going to be a shout, a trump of God. And then all those which are dead shall rise first. And those which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet him in the air. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50 and 51 says it will happen in a twinkle of an eye. We are awaiting the second phase of the first resurrection. That's why the Bible says, blessed are those that has part of the first resurrection. Now, then after we go, the tribulation time happens. And for 7 years, there will be people saved, but they will be beheaded. They will be killed because of their testimony in the tribulation time. Especially the last half of the tribulation, we call the Great Tribulation. And the Bible tells us that they will be beheaded. Look again, if you would, in the book of Revelation, real quickly, in Revelation chapter number 6. Some people have some questions about this verse, but when you understand it in light of what I've just gone through, you can understand a little better. Notice what happens when John opens the fifth seal. Now the first seal through the fourth seal are the four horses. Remember those? You had the white horse, the type of Antichrist. You had the red horse, blood, war. You had the black horse, famine and pestilence. Then you had the pale horse, which was death. Then the fifth seal that he opened in verse number 9, chapter 6. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were what? Slain for the word of God, for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell where? On the earth. And white robes were given them, every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. In other words, they are part of the gleaning process. To be saved after the church is raptured out will be a painful process. It will be a time when the Antichrist reigns, evil reigns, the Holy Spirit of God has been taken, and it will come however God determines for it to visit upon the earth. But people will be saved, we know, because the Bible says that they'll be saved from every nation, kindred, and tongue. But it will be those who have not heard the gospel of Christ. And they will be hearing the gospel according to Jesus in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 14. They will be hearing the gospel of the kingdom being preached. They will be hearing the gospel of the kingdom preached by the 144,000 that is sealed, that is sent out to do the preaching during the tribulation time. They will be saved, but yet there will be martyrs given. In other words, right now we, as a church, we think we have it hard sometimes. You ought to be one of these Christians going to come after us. Man, they're going to be gleaned from the earth. They're going to be trodden down. They're going to have their heads cut off. They're going to be killed. They're going to be persecuted every way in the world that they're going to get. And as they try to help Israel, they're going to be persecuted even more during that time. But all three of those stages are part of the first resurrection. The first fruits, the Old Testament, we, the church and saints now, are caught up. And then the tribulation saints that will be saved during that time. Now, notice if you would, back in Revelation chapter 20. Let's begin reading again in verse number 4, just to bring this back in our minds clear what we just covered. And John said, And I saw the thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that was beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God. Now remember, this is those that's during the tribulation. And it says, which had not worshipped the beast, that's the Antichrist. We don't have the Antichrist right now. Neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ, what? 1,000 years. Those are 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is what? The first resurrection. So there's going to be 1,000 years separate the two resurrections. The resurrection of the blessed, the resurrection of the damned. Now, notice this, if you would, in verse number 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him, what? 1,000 years. Now, what's it talking about there? Well, notice what happens when the 1,000 years is expired, and Satan's loosed, and he sees nations, and then he comes against them. Notice if you would in verse number, well, let's read on down. In verse number 7, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Now we'll talk about this later on, but these people will have Satan bound away from them for 1,000 years, never know his temptation until he's loosened, and he will gather up an army, come against the camp of the saints and against Jerusalem. Look, if you would, in verse number 10. And the Bible says God's going to devour them with fire out of heaven. And then verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, so now we have the devil cast into the lake of fire. No more devil, no more beast, no more false prophet. Now the 1,000 years is expired. Now it's time for the resurrection of the damned, the lost. Now let's get a picture of what they're going to go through. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. And I saw a great white throne. That's why the Bible, that's why we refer to the judgment of the lost as a great white throne judgment. We refer to those of the Christians, the judgment we're going to go through, as the judgment seat of Christ. But the Bible refers to this as a great white throne. Notice what it says. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. Now, after this judgment, there will be no old earth, there will be no old heavens. There is going to be a new creation. As a matter of fact, look if you would in verse number 1 of chapter 21, after this judgment. It says, and I saw a new what? Heaven and a new what? We'll talk about that later on. But what I want you to understand is, when this judgment comes, after 1,000 years. Now remember, Christ has to reign 1,000 years to not only fulfill Scripture, but for several things we'll get into next week. We'll list several things and reasons why he has his reign upon this earth until God destroys this old earth and he makes a new earth. Okay, and we'll talk about that a little later on. Now, look if you would in verse number 12. Let's read verse number 11 again. I saw a great white throne, and him that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. And there was found no place for them, that is, earth and heaven. And I saw the dead. Now, the dead speaks of spiritually dead, those who are lost, small and great. In other words, it doesn't matter whether they had a lot of money, whether they're poor. It doesn't matter whether they're a king or whether a pauper. It doesn't matter whether they're female or male. It doesn't matter whether black, white, red, or yellow. It doesn't matter. When the Bible says in 38 different times, God is no respecter of persons, it always refers to one of three things. The judgment of God against their sins, rewards that God gives, and salvation of souls. God's no respecter of persons in who he saves. God's no respecter of persons in who he rewards. And God is no respecter of persons in who will be cast in the lake of fire. It will be upon what you do and the decisions and consequences that you make from the decisions that you make for the Lord. Look on. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Now, you've heard me preach and teach on the book of life. And so when you get into the book of life, it's amazing what the book of life is. 14, 15 references throughout the scripture on the book of life. You need to get into it. Never do you find God writing a name in the book of life. He always blots names out of the book of life. And we won't get into all that today. I won't have time. But it says, and dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. In other words, not only will the book of life be open, but they will also give an account of what they've done on the earth. Look in verse 13. And the sea gave up the dead what was in them. In other words, dead bodies that went down to the sea. Some people say, well, I went and buried my loved one and I cast his ashes in the sea. It don't matter when this resurrection comes. It's going to be gathered together and going to come back up. God's going to give them a body, just like us, an eternal body, to endure heaven and to go through heaven and to live on forever. He's going to give them a body to endure what hell will bring to them. But notice here, if you would, the Bible says, and verse 13, the sea gave up the dead that was in it, and death, and talking about the earth, and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. Now, why does it say death and hell? Because death is the earth, and where those died on the earth, they're buried in graves. But also, hell's got to give up the souls of those that have died, that's been tormented, like the rich man's being tormented right now. They're being tormented, waiting for this great white throne judgment. And hell's going to deliver up the dead that's in it. Now, notice if you would, in verse number 13. And they were judged, every man, according to the works. Last part, look in verse 14. And death and hell were cast where? Into the lake of fire. This is a what? Now remember, the Bible said that's why we're blessed in verse number 6. Because those of us who have part in the first resurrection, the Old Testament saints, rapture saints, and the tribulation saints, we don't face the second death. But everybody that's going to be here will face the second death. Look on. It says in verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast where? That's the second death. Being eternally separated from God, suffering the torments that all that would bring. Now, I said that to say all this, and then I'll pick up the rest of it starting next week on the thousand-year reign. So, when you consider this thousand-year reign, Christ has come, he's judged the nation, some gets go into the reign, others are cast in chapter 19, last part of it, into hell already, and waiting for this great white throne judgment. The beast and the false prophet is cast into the lake of fire, and they're there. Then what we find is for 1,000 years we will reign. Now what we want to do in the next few weeks following is we want to look and see what the Bible says about this reign of Christ, things that will happen. It is so interesting when you understand the earth, what's going to happen to the earth, what's going to happen to mankind, how Jesus is going to reign on it. But you even see, and you think, boy, that's paradise, perfect. Satan won't be tempting. But see, people still have their old flesh. And when Jeremiah said that our heart is exceedingly wicked and evil, desperately wicked, that we can't even know it, you would think that somebody that be a group of people that would live and they will live ripe old ages. As a matter of fact, Isaiah said, even the children, babies, will die at an age of 100. Imagine that. In other words, when Satan's not around and Jesus replenishes the earth and the deserts bring forth flowers again, people's going to live longer during that time. Going to go back to, you know, like some of them young scrappers in the Old Testament. 400-some-year-old and having sons and daughters. I mean, Adam himself lived to be 930. Methuselah, the longest man recorded in the Bible, 969 years. And so what we have is we'll have also a prolonging of life for several reasons we'll look at later on. But I want you to picture in your mind that you would think that a group of people that would be governed by Jesus, ruling with a rod of iron, setting up in his government, a perfect government, treating everybody the same. He's able to heal anybody's illnesses that they have. We'll read about that too. And you think that the whole world would just love him and worship him and serve him. But after 1,000 years of him reigning, the moment Satan's loosened, he creates a great army to come against the Lord. You know why? This old flesh does not want him to rule over us. We have to submit ourselves. Some people say, well, if salvation was that easy, that we could be saved by grace through faith, everybody would be saved. Nope. The old flesh don't want to give up the throne. Is not willing to move off and say, Lord, have your rightful place. And until you get to the place where you humble before him and call upon the name of the Lord, you can't be saved. And so it's going to be amazing as we get into this study that we're going to find out things about our own nature that we don't like to hear. But also we're going to look at what a marvelous time this will be. Now we will be with Jesus, reigning with him. How do I know that? Because the Bible says in the rapture, catching away, that when he catches away, we will forever be with him. Wherever he is, you'll find us. And so therefore, we look for a wonderful time reigning with Christ. Some's going to be faithful. They're going to be given rule over five cities. Some been unfaithful, and they're not going to be. Going to be saved yet sold by fire, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. Going to be saved yet sold by fire, but they will suffer loss. It will be a shameful time. Now, so next week we'll pick up why the reign of earth of Christ for 1,000 years on this old earth. Why not God just create a new earth? Well, he's going to. But that's after sin is over with, and sin will never again exist on the new earth nor in the new heaven. And nothing can enter, and the kings are going to bring their stuff into the gates, but sin cannot ever enter there. And so we're looking forward to that time. And picture this, and get this in your mind, and I'll close with this thought. There will be kings of the earth. As a matter of fact, just look real quickly. I'll read this and we'll close. Look, if you go in chapter 21. The Bible says in verse 24, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. What is it? It is the New Jerusalem, the city made for the church, the Lamb of God, and those of us in all the in Hebrews chapter 12 that it describes. It says the kings of earth do bring the glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination nor maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So, as we get into this, we'll pick up all those things. Let's be dismissed in word prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time. Thank you for the word of God. That, Lord, you know the end from the beginning, and it's so good that you can even write it down in a book that we may be able to study and see what you have planned for us. And, Lord, our mind can't hardly comprehend it. And I'm sure that we would be so shocked if we could see the end product of what it is. But, Lord, we're glad that you give us what you gave us. Gave us all we need to have, and we ask you to help us this morning as we stand before these people to open up the Word of God. Help it to be clearly taught, clearly understood with the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, we pray if there be one in our service today not saved, you would beckon that soul to the salvation of Christ. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.